It is a warm morning again, but embracing whatever coolness is in the air. It's not in the 70s, 68 degrees here right now. So, Jason Kantz, to start the best 5 minutes of the day, I guess we'll take that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think yesterday was supposed to have been the hottest in this current streak. So hopefully we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that when I look at some of these forecasts right now, because it's like for the Chippewa Valley, 93 the next couple of days and 91 on Friday with a 50% chance of rain, but 98 the next couple of days in La Crosse. So it is what it is, but find a way to stay cool. My wife reminded me last night. I was like, she's like, you go to two air-conditioned jobs all day. And our house, you know, that didn't put me on the good list because it's like our house, we have a room air conditioner. Some of the others have room air conditioners. Some are in the basement. And so, but like in our main living areas, we're relying on like a ceiling fan or, so, you know, fans. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's she's right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that's, you could just, that could be in my tombstone. She was right. So. I've got a question for you. I had lunch with a friend yesterday. He's a, you know, a parachurch ministry leader. But we got talking about, you know, kind of the current state of evangelical Christianity. And one of the ways I want to deal with this and just ask you, because I think you keep cutting edge in forums, you keep track on Twitter and everything's going on. Like, Russell Moore, I guess, what went on with him with the Southern Baptist, like, in the last week or so, like, a letter that he wrote, I think his resignation letter is what came out, and then now the Atlantic with a whole piece on the crisis. I think it's written by Pete Wehner, a former Bush speechwriter. Yeah. So can you bring us up to speed on all that?
Yeah, so Russ Moore he used to be the vice president at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and over the last few years, he has been the president of a branch of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the largest evangelical denomination in the United States.
And that branch is the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Right, and that is the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and so their job has been to kind of look at what is the role of Christians, particularly Southern Baptists, in the public square. And he has taken some positions in the last few years that, at least in my opinion, seem biblical, but have raised a lot of concern, a lot of conflict with those, with others in the Southern Baptist Convention. And so about a year ago, he had written a letter I think it must have gone to an executive committee.
Okay, yeah, right.
And talking about the concerns he had with the way he was being handled. You know, so one of the issues that was coming up was covering up of sex abuse scandal. Second issue was related to race relations, and so he was talking about how he had been handled or addressed, and people saying things to him like that they were planning to hold him in psychological terror, and they said, "We know we can't defeat you directly because our wives and our children are with you, these leaders within the SBC were saying that they were willing to do these things to psychologically terrorize Russell Moore. And it's just been a hard, hard place. I'll be surprised if he stays in the SBC.
The latest I understand is he's been offered and has taken a job to be a pastor, I think in Nashville, of a non-SBC church. And so the point being that here's this guy who had been with the SBC basically his whole life, and now has not only left that position, but ultimately is going to be a pastor in a non-SBC church.
So. Yeah, and I mean, so that within the last few months, there have been then two exodus of two prominent Moores, with Beth Moore also leaving the SBC.
Who is heard here twice daily on WIB about 9:50 in the morning and about 6:20 in the evening. So,
you know, and so it raises this. Again, there are a number of different things, and I think both of them would comment, as well as others who have been concerned, that we've taken our eye off the ball as evangelicals. You know, we are much less concerned about telling people about the grace of Christ and salvation in Christ than we are about cover-up. There's a line in this article from The Atlantic that says, in their eagerness to defend the faith, many Christians refuse to look honestly at the crises American Christendom faces and the corruption within its ranks.
And I think, you know, just taking to heart, and maybe we can continue this tomorrow, and just the idea, though, of the thing that strikes me is willing to do house cleaning. What Jesus says in Matthew 23, 25, and 26 to the Pharisees, he says to all of us, individually and otherwise, and you know, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the inside and the outside will be clean. And if we're not willing to clean house individually and otherwise, and including in our churches and denominations and et cetera, then forget it. Like judgment judgment begins at the house of God, right?
Yeah. You know, and I think, this is where things maybe get twisted. I think as Christians, we should be at the front of the line when it comes to cleaning house.
Yeah.
There was a Latin term that came out during the Reformation called semper reformanda, which is always reforming. And it's this call back to, okay, we have to, who are we, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, who are we as Christians? Does that inform our politics? I think it does, but maybe not in the ways that we think it does.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. Semper reformando. That's our Latin for the day. Thank you. Yep. That's what we'll call this segment for the podcast. Jason, thank you. Semper reformando. I like it. It just rolls off the tongue. Always reforming. Good stuff.
Well, I noticed that the Swantgraber vehicle of the day is a convertible.
Hmm.
And I had a convertible. Let's see. I got one in 2003 for my little midlife crisis. My husband gave me a VW Volkswagen convertible. And everyone says, why would you have that in this climate? So I would like to give a public service announcement to say, we also have, we spend time in Florida. It is way too hot in Florida to ever use your convertible.
Ah.
Way too hot. You just sit there and the sun beats down on you and you think, and there's exhaust. I'm telling you, everybody, every listener, if your next car, if you have a choice of getting the convertible, it is not rattly and cold and horrible in the winter. This is the perfect place to own a convertible.
Huh.
It's like having your windows down 360 degrees. It's like I don't have to drive somewhere. I get to drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't sound silly, but it also is very good for your self-esteem because you learn to accept yourself with very messy hair.
You pitched it well. And in fact, now I'm looking at Swantgraber. That's a classic dark red 1990 Cadillac Elante convertible with black interior. This is your ride for our hot Wisconsin summer. So, hey, head on over to swantgraber.com for details and then head to Swantgraber
and
Barron
for a
test drive. You
won't be sorry. It just feels like such a treat.
And say, Susan sent you.
Yeah, any convertible is a gift. I mean, it's just so fun. And I think back in the day, they were kind of rattly and cold. But now it's just snug and wonderful. So if you have that option in the years to come, I just encourage you to bring that joy. Anytime we can find joy in our daily life with those little things, like stopping and getting a special coffee or just treat yourself. That's self-care. And whatever you can do to kind of be kind to yourself.
Mm. That is a perfect lead into an Andrew Peterson song. It just so happens that's not the tune I've got lined up. But maybe after the weather. All right, Mark and Susan, WWIB. It's the WIB Wake Up Show. Dawson's going to join us tomorrow. And then Friday, folks, it's Susan and Dawson.
Yay.
So anyhow, we're building toward that. But no Caleb today. And he's back with us on Monday. I hope he has a wonderful time off. He's helping out with the VBS at... his church there in Rice Lake. But he made the big announcement last week that, hey, going to take a break from the Pet Peeves Put to Music during the summer.
Right.
But I'm like, hey, summer's known for reruns, so... And I got to say, the one I'm digging into the files, we found this from April 28th, was the one about red lights, stoplights.
Right.
And I'm going down the old 53 today on my way, buzzing along at 50 or maybe slightly over.
Just a little over.
And Leadfoot Halvo. and then all of a sudden on Melby, it changes to red. And I'm just like, that's what's inside of me. And so I need Caleb's Pet Peeve Put to Music as just kind of therapy.
my existence is called the traffic light. Where red means stop and green means go and yellow means hold tight. I have the world's worst timing, or call it plain bad luck. There's always that one intersection where I end up stuck. You can only play drum solos on the steering wheel for so long. Hey, why did they get to go? Is there a stoplight mafia or someone I could pay? Cause every time I hit this light, I sit here half the day. Been waiting 7 minutes and it still hasn't changed. Lord, please just give me patience cause I'm feeling quite deranged. Feeling quite deranged.
Ah, yes, that hits the spot.
Yes, it does.
Feeling quite deranged.
Oh,
so.
Man, what a gift our Caleb has.
Absolutely. I love that tune from Peabody.
I do, too.
Love Everybody, WWIB.
So cheerful. Great message.
Great reads. You know, it's a great book. This is fun. Actually, Will Polnasek in Chippewa Falls kind of introduced me to this concept where he's just like, did you like the movie? And he's like, would you want to see it again? And that's a great test in terms of, and I'd be like, well, no. And he's like, then it wasn't that great of a movie. and similarly, with a book, I think, and Love Everybody reminds me of one particular book I'd like to read again, Love Does by Bob Goff. If you've ever read it.
I have not. Tell
it's
me
so
more.
It's so good. No, it's so good. It's just filled with stories. Bob Goff, I mean, he did another one called, one of the follow-ups was Everybody Always. And you're kind of like, what do you mean, Everybody Always? He's like, yeah, Love Everybody Always.
Wow.
So just as the book, those two books go so hand in hand with that from Peabody here on WWIB. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we want to be about here, right?
Well, and here's a concept. I thought back when I was a young Christian that God would help me love the people that I couldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I realize he wants me to love everyone with his love because my natural affection, my love is so imperfect. Mm-hmm. He said, no, use my love to love people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be patient, be kind, be generous. You know, don't keep a record of wrongs. And so, yeah, my human love is not going to cut it. You want me to love you with God's love. Trust
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. That's why I mentioned 1 John 4:19 every day. We love because he first loved us. All right, it's the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB, coming up on 8:21. And Susan, you've been a ray of sunshine here on the morning show.
Thank you.
Since you joined us in mid-March. And one of the things the listeners may have caught a little glimpse of, but not the full taste.
Not the full Monte.
There you go. Is the accents. What is this? You and your daughter, Kat, apparently enjoy accent.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
It's kind of a family thing. My daughter, Grace, also is known for her British accent.
Okay.
And she will imitate lots of people. I don't know what it is. And I know you think that I'm really good at accents, but
yes.
I'm just shameless.
Okay.
And so every morning I'll say, buongiorno,
yeah.
Buongiorno, Marco.
Yeah.
Which of course is Italian. And I think this morning I said, guten Morgen.
Okay.
Which of course is German.
Uh-huh. So it's like a trip to Europe.
Mostly I like to do British accent because it's easiest, quite frankly. I like to do that.
So
and then the Irish, of course. The Irish comes in handy.
Wow. How do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a gift, mate. You know, you got to be born on Down Under. And then you listen to how people talk, don't you?
It takes me back to Roma Downey on Touched by an Angel.
Walk towards the light, Mark. God loves you, Mark. Walk towards the light.
All right, let's do some June Dairy Month love, like the different accents. The Wisconsin milk.
Okay.
Well, this is an old English fellow. You know, milk, I tell you, we had a lot of milk as a boy. And it makes you strong, doesn't it?
That's the first time. Most of the time you sound like a female. That time you sounded like a British guy.
Well, yes, it's very jolly good milk.
Now that is not, that's an accent I have not heard before. So.
Surprise!
Yes.
And then, of course, I like the French accent when, you know, without the milk, you cannot have the cheese. And the cheese is so très délicieux. I have it in my sandwich. And I like the cheddar and the brie. So, yeah, merveilleux. Très bien.
Fantastic. That is just so fun. Have you ever, like, done impersonations of people?
I usually do you at home a lot. Yeah.
Really? It's I hadn't fun. Heard that.
Oh, shoot, I can't believe I told you that. Anyway, when you're gone on Friday, the listeners will not miss a beat. They will not miss you. You're going to be here in all your glory.
Well, after the British guy you just did, I believe you'll be able to do that. So, all right. Pastor T.D. Jakes celebrating a birthday today. He is turning 64 years old. And happy birthday to him. And it just so happened, I was one article I was just perusing here this morning, and it had a link to another interview that he did with The Atlantic recently, Emma Green. And T.D. Jakes, he's pastor of the multi-thousand-member Dallas megachurch, The Potter's House.
Mm-hmm.
And his latest book is Drop the Mic. He's done a number of movies, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Woman Thou Art Loose went from a book to a movie
right.
and the whole deal.
Right.
I've heard him speak at some of the leadership conferences.
Powerful speaker.
Right.
Strong black man. Wonderful voice for Christendom.
And in fact, it's interesting because the setup for the piece, it's like a Q&A. And Emma Green says that Jakes found himself, he couldn't have known what was coming this past year between the pandemic and racial tensions in the
right.
U.S., particularly heightened after the George Floyd death in Minneapolis. And let me just share a little bit of this interesting to get your take. She writes, all of this has made Jakes think through his theology. He told me recently the message of Christianity doesn't align with the contemporary theology of just blessings and gifts and promises.
Right. Wow.
He says this is really stands out. Suffering is center stage to our faith. Let me repeat that. T.D. Jakes says suffering is center stage to our faith. And even Emma Green says this is a stark assessment coming from Jakes. Fairly or not, she says, the pastor's often associated with a gospel of prosperity, which teaches that the faithful will be blessed by God with health and wealth.
Right.
Jakes told me he's spent the pandemic flipping through the Bible and reading about earlier times of disease and dying. And so I just really thought, but I thought, interesting stuff, you know? So
it is, and it's strange because as a believer, his allegiance, of course, is to God and the kingdom of God. But he is also a black man who has seen the suffering and just probably the non-biblical, but the different ways of expressing anger that have been so destructive. And yet it's so understandable when there is injustice in this world. So I can see why he would have to wrestle
right.
with God. Where are you amid this racial injustice and these, yeah.
One other comment in the piece in terms of cancel culture, and he talks about, you know, as you go on, I mean, potentially seeing differently on issues with other people. He says this, I don't think that we should stop talking to people because we disagree. I honestly, earnestly believe that we can have civil dialogue without demonizing people for their views and saying, because you don't agree with me, you're evil.
Oh, yes.
Boy, good message, right?
So good. And great that he was talking to The Atlantic, which is a very broad spectrum magazine where people probably wouldn't hear T.D. Jakes or any believer usually in that publication.
So his latest book, Don't Drop the Mic.